Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping life for a better tomorrow.
What's up? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand, head to the floor, and we gon' dance. And when we get there, best believe we're gonna do what you said. Ain't no drawing in here, so don't stress. Step to the right, then pass to the left.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. I'd like to thank each of you for joining us again tonight. We have a great show lined up for you. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, Ron's perspective on what's going to happen this Sunday, you know, Super Bowl. We're talking about fashion, and we'll also be introducing a new segment about movie reviews and whatnot, so definitely check that out. We'll also be discussing a controversial subject for many people, religion. Tonight we'll talk to a guy who grew up a devout Christian, even was on the Christian debate team in high school, but today he's an atheist. My aunt will also be on the show. She's very knowledgeable regarding the Bible and the geological aspects surrounding that, so it'll be a very interesting conversation. We definitely want you all to participate, so make sure that you call in and give us your opinion. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. But first, what's up, Ms. Parker? How are you feeling tonight?
What's up, Steve? I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
I'm great. It's Friday, and, you know, it's been one of those weeks, you know.
I definitely understand. It's been a very long week, and, you know,
yeah.
All this rain is it's not the business. But
definitely.
It was a long day. Came home, went to the gym, got me a glass of wine and the wings.
Yeah, the wings.
And so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. What's up?
Well, that's good. Well, as you know, at the Stephen Knight Show, our mission is to bring you the latest in entertainment news, sports, interviews, fashion, and, of course, music. We want the show to be very interactive. We want to hear from you.
So please make sure to like us on Facebook, The Stephen Knight Show. Also follow us on Twitter, Stephen Knight Show, SHO. Each and every Friday, we're going to go ahead and post the question of the day. We really, really appreciate your opinion. So please leave a comment. Let us know what you think. And make sure to, you know, connect with us on these social networks.
Well, today our question of the day is, could you date or marry someone that had different religious beliefs from you? And I think that'll be very interesting based on the discussion we'll have later on. Michelle, what about you? Could you do that?
I think I could. I read some of the comments on the page. It was very funny. But, yeah, I think I could. Everyone had a very valid point, and I think that's what it's about. It's about open discussion and also about people personal beliefs and respecting each other for what they believe in. So I definitely think I could.
Well, it'll be very interesting. So make sure you go on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you think, and we'll be right back.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes, or just want to read and catch up on BET news? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211. or phone BEC Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back. For those just tuning in, you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. So, Michelle, what's going on in entertainment news?
Entertainment news is all over the place today, Stephen. First, did you hear about Halle Berry and her baby daddy? So I guess we're not normal people aren't the only people who go through baby mama and baby daddy drama. Halle Berry and her model baby daddy are going through it right now. I'm a little sad. I just really wanted it to work out for her, you know, and it seemed like she's been through a lot of relationships. And but it's getting very heated. She said that he called her the N-word. And he said that she sent an email stating that he thanking him for the donation.
Well, you know, people called it a few years ago. I remember they said that basically she just wanted a child, and most people thought that, you know, that basically that's what he was for her, a donation. But it's kind of sad to see them, you know, to have such a public custody battle, you know.
Yeah, I agree, and I hope it works out because, you know, there's the innocent child who is involved in all of this and stuck in the middle of it, and no one, she doesn't choose to be here. And of course, you love both of your parents. It shouldn't get to the point where you have to choose between your mother or your father. Moving on, Mariah Carey is pregnant, and she's having a boy and a girl. I think that's perfect if I ever decide to have kids. Just go ahead and knock it out.
Right, one and done. They said that she had a miscarriage about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. And, you know, she announced she was pregnant last year, but she didn't know what the sex was. She didn't think it would be a boy and a girl. She thought it would be maybe two boys or two girls. So they're, like, very happy, her and Nick, that they're having a boy and a girl. That's what kind of perfect.
At her age, she probably don't want to have to go through it again. So I'm glad there are two in there and there's one of each in there. I saw a picture of her last Thanksgiving, and I was like, okay, she looks like she ate her meal, my meal.
she's kind of full right now.
Yeah, she is. Moving on. Did you see Housewives?
I did see Housewives Atlanta. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was drama.
Oh,
what did you think about Cynthia getting married?
Well, you know, it seems to me that Cynthia has a lot of drama just in her life, from her parents to her sister and to her. But, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Did you think she was going to be a runaway bride?
I would have ran. I would have came up in there in some tennis shoes and that dress. And I would have ran.
Yeah. Why would you run?
Because Peter went through her money, his money. He just doesn't seem to be that good with, you know, managing his finances. And, like, he just seemed like he's just not responsible enough. At an older age, you shouldn't have to worry about being broke. And I just seem like he's just all over the place. So I would have ran. But
we should learn from a mistake and not invest all of her money into his business. You know, they can have
what we can just do is just wish them well, you know. So.
Exactly.
Did you see Jay-Z on the news the other day?
I did. You know, he was here earlier this week.
Yeah, he's supposed to be opening a 40/40 club. They had one in Vegas when I was at home, and it was really nice, but it didn't work out. He had to close it down. He has one in New York. I've never been, but he's thinking about opening one out here. I think it'll be pretty hot. But he said that he's thinking about doing it at the airport, like by the airport.
Yeah. Now, I don't like that location.
I think it's just because he's not familiar with the area.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think he really wants it by the airport, but we will see.
I could see it being very successful downtown or maybe in Buckhead or Midtown, but, the airport, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Can you imagine driving to the way on that side of town?
I would never make it.
I already know. You know I'm not driving over there. So.
Right.
Speaking of our television shows, I know you watched the game.
I did. I watched the game. This is my first season actually watching it, you know, with each season. I've seen reruns in the past, because, you know, they took a hiatus. But,
Same with me. But from the previous episodes that I've seen before it went off air, it seemed to be better produced. So I went to lunch with the girls last week, last Sunday. We had beautiful weather in Atlanta. I went to lunch.
Yeah, it was good.
And we were talking about the show, and the girls were telling me that Kelsey Grammer used to produce the show. So I came home, and I'm all excited. I pulled up my laptop, and I typed in all this information. And so I did some research on it, and, yeah, he used to do the show, but he no longer does the show. I guess his production company is still somehow involved, BET hired their own people. You can so tell the quality of the work from when he did the show till, you know, when BET is on the show. I just think it's the quality of the show is just so bad, and it seemed like they filmed the show in one day and edited it. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I have to say that I did prefer the reruns. I think they have a good plot, but I think just some of the...
It's overboard,
right, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely
we'll see
overboard.
What happens. Maybe as they continue, it'll come together.
Hopefully, I'm hoping. That's it for entertainment.
Okay. Well, tonight, like I said, we'll be introducing a new segment. It's called Chike's Take. Chike is the newest member of the Stephen Knight team. Definitely want to welcome him. He'll be giving weekly reviews on the latest movies. So please help me welcome Chike. What's up, man?
Hello, people.
Hello,
how are you doing?
Welcome.
Ms.
What do you have
Parker.
For us?
Wait a minute. Ms.
Parker?
If I get one more inbox asking me if you're single or not, I'm going to start charging. Seriously.
I am single and ready to mingo. Send them over.
We got to talk. We have to talk behind the scenes. We have to talk.
All right.
Okay. I'm screening two movies. First one is The Right, and the second one is Black Swan. We'll start off with The Right. I'm a fan of the genre. I love horror. I'm an Exorcist fan because it scared the heck out of me. But I was a little disappointed by this one. You know, as great as Anthony Hopkins is, he made an excellent demon. Yeah, he's excellent. He made an excellent demon in the movie, but sometimes with these producers, do they throw a great actor in the movie to help raise it up?
Yeah.
And it didn't really help with this one. It left me with questions. It took a long time to get to, you know, the heart of the matter. It just dragged on and on and on. It left me wanting more. It really did.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That movie's a definite, you know, stay at home on the couch with the DVD.
Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Okay.
Stay at
like
home.
Movie,
make your
right?
own fun. Right. Now, the second movie, Black Swan, and I'm going to say this with all respect, a beautiful mess. It was crazy.
Oh,
it was psychotic.
Really?
It was a mind screw. It got into your head and it twisted all around. And I highly recommend going to go see it, but please go see it with someone because you're going to need to talk about it once you leave. You can't go in there by yourself.
Oh, no.
You come out crazy.
One of those movies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. But I highly recommend Black Swan.
So you recommend
highly
that?
Recommend. Okay. Oh, yes. And in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to start, you know, viewing more of the Oscar-nominated movies because I want to, you know, get into some of the Oscar stuff. What are these people considering great movies, you know?
Okay.
So I'll get back to you on that one.
Well, we definitely appreciate you, and welcome again to the Stephen Knight team.
Yeah, and I just want to tell the people, thank you, Steve, I just want to tell the people, please support the arts and go to the movies. And if you see me at your local theater, please buy me some popcorn.
Okay. Definitely. Well, thanks again, TK, and we'll look forward
thanks,
to next
TK.
Week. Next
Thank
week,
you.
Segment. All right. Well, Michelle, you know Super Bowl Sunday is here, a couple of days. You and I are going to the annual Super Bowl party we go to every year.
I'm
Definitely
doing my Super
that.
Bowl dance.
So,
yes,
yeah,
I'm really excited.
We have the Steelers versus the Packers. A-Wan, what's going to happen, man?
Yeah. First of
Please
all,
for the Packers.
I'm going for the Packers, but first of all, let me just say this. Atlanta is not the only city that has drama right now. Dallas is drama going on there. The weather's crazy, you know, ice and snows in Dallas. People are actually worried about, you know, how is everything going to turn out for this weekend with the Super Bowl, with parties and things, are people actually going to be able to actually drive in the snow and travel and fly into Dallas and fly out of Dallas?
Yeah, a lot of people have tickets probably can't make it there. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
and on
crazy.
The news, they said that ice fell off of the roof of the dome and injured people.
And
so
it
people are hospitalized.
People.
Because ice is flying off. It's just a mess. But, we've experienced that before out here as well, so it's definitely a horrible thing.
Absolutely, and just like Cynthia's wedding, the show must go on. So
yeah, must go on.
It must go on. That's
I like that, Ryan. That was good.
Thank
what
you,
were you
thank
watching
you,
the game?
Thank you. I'm still going to say Packers. Packers 27, Pittsburgh 20. Pittsburgh actually has a there is a key injury on their team. Their starting center is actually injured. He's
I didn't know that. I'm switching over now.
Okay, see? And the center is actually very important because he's the guy that actually has the ball before the quarterback. So if he's not comfortable with the quarterback doing that, the actual snaps, then there can be some drama going on. So
that's true. That's
we'll
true.
Have to see. Yeah. Yeah, but definitely. Packers 27 again, Pittsburgh 20. Sorry.
Well, you know, I was at the barbershop today, and my barber, he is a diehard Steelers fan. He was just straight up and down. Steelers got this. Steelers got this. They have the experience. They've been there. But you're saying the Packers.
I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, without a doubt, to me, is a great quarterback. He is one of the top three quarterbacks in the league, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
He finds a way to win. He's almost kind of like Brett Favre, but just the 2011 version. He's kind of gritty, you know, that nuts and bolts kind of guy. Lunch pail, clocks in, goes to work. It's not really flashy, but gets it done. He definitely gets it done. So,
hey, Ron, I don't mean to take off the football subject. Did you see the Lakers game last night?
I actually didn't, but I heard about it. I heard that. You know,
it was a wild game. Crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I actually also saw the Miami game. Miami and Orlando. James went off. He had 51 points, and I mean, it was crazy.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely be holding you to the score. I know that you know, next week when we come back together, we will have the score by then, so we'll know what's going on. But we definitely appreciate your perspective, and if you have feedback regarding that, definitely let us know what you think about Ron's predictions on our Facebook page. Appreciate you, Ron.
No problem, Steven.
Thanks, Ron. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, Ms. Parker. Yes,
ma'am. All right, talk to you later.
All right.
My next segment is my favorite segment. This girl is going to make me broke, but Ginevra, do you have any discounts, websites, or anything for me this week?
Yes, of course, because I'm broke too, so don't you worry about it, Ms. Parker.
We're going to have to start swapping out stuff, doing something.
We are, because this is ridiculous, but that's why I am the budget shopaholic. So I first wanted to tell everybody about, I don't know if you guys knew about the William Rast for Target collection. And if you don't know what William Rast is, it's basically Justin Timberlake's clothing line. He got with one of his friends, and they decided to design a clothing line. Now, of course, you think that, you know, sometimes, you know, you think you hear about all these stars, you know, trying to design their own clothing lines, and, you know, sometimes it's just a hot disaster. Well, this is actually a pretty nice clothing line. I mean, you know, it's kind of edgy and, you know, kind of casual and laid back at the same time, and that's a really hard combination to find, casual and laid back and edgy, but he somehow pulled it off. The only issue with William Rast is the price. I mean, it's
really
ridiculously priced. They are kind of high. I mean, you know, you
and
can get a pair
Target?
Of jeans. No, that's what I'm here to tell you. You can get a pair of jeans for like $200 or, you know, a leather jacket for like $400. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? In my opinion. Well,
I agree.
He teamed up with Target, William Rast. Well, I'm sorry, the team. Of course, Justin Timberlake is the face, but, you know, he's very actively involved with the designs. Well, him and his friend teamed up with Target, and they designed a William Rast for Target collection.
Okay.
Now, I think I wrote about this on my website like a couple of months ago, back in August. Well, now that collection is on sale. So everything, it's on sale online. You actually may be able to find a few pieces in the store, but they have like genuine leather jackets, They had a leather jacket in Target for $200, which I know y'all are thinking a leather jacket in Target for $200 is insane. But now everything is reduced by 50% because it's on clearance. And they have, they just reduced it, so they have quite a few things in there. So you guys might want to go online and check out the William Rath for Target collection. Like I said, most of it's online, but you might be able to find a few pieces in the store. I knew you would. I already have a jacket in my shopping bag. You don't even have to worry. I also have Old Navy is having the biggest sale, their biggest sale of the year. And basically they're going to have they're marking everything from their winter collection. They're putting it on sale. And prices are starting out at $5. So it's this weekend. It's going to be ongoing until they're sold out. But, okay. You know, at $5, you know, you can't really sneeze at that. I'll be in the store myself. So, but they have everything online and in the store. So this sale is not just online. It's online and in the store. So you might want to go check that out. And I also have, what did you say?
I said, thank you. I will be doing that.
Oh, yeah. I know. I told you, girl, we're going to be broke. We're going to be broke together, though. That's okay. So then we also have New York & Company. This is one of my favorite stores for the office. I mean, you know, they do have some contemporary stuff, but mainly I like their slacks and their sweaters and things like that. You always see me decked out in New York & Company stuff in the office. Well,
yeah.
They are having a buy one, get one 50 off. So you can buy one item and get the second item for 50% off, and they're doing this on all of their tops and sweaters. And this is including their new spring collection.
Wow.
So that's also something that you may want to go and check out. But, you know, they do have quite a bit of stuff for, you know, streetwear as well, but, you know, I just really like them for the office.
Yeah.
And my last thing that I'm going to tell you guys about is my budget find of the week. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the high-end designer Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
Chloe designs bag handbags that, you know, can cost anywhere from $1,000 to, you know, $3,000 and shoes and, you know, just like a lot of accessories and leather goods. Well, Chloe... I found a Chloe bag. Well, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. I found a Chloe-inspired bag, and this thing was just like the real thing. And the Chloe bag that I found was about $3,200. And that was, yeah, I know, right? How about I found something that looks just like the Chloe bag in leather for $56?
Where?
You have to go to my website, budgetshopaholic.com, and if you go to that website, you can just click on the images below, and that bag will be right there, and it's $56. I absolutely love this bag. We'll be adding this to my collection.
Wow. Imagine come shopping in your closet.
We just cut out all the mailman.
No problem. So, you know, like I said, check me out on budgetshopaholic.com. I'm also on Facebook, and you can like me through my website. So it's been a pleasure, and welcome to the show, TK. All right, guys. Okay,
thank you,
Janera.
Thanks, Janera,
as always. You're always informative. Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. For more information about what Janera just discussed in the show, please visit our Facebook page.
And we'll be right back.
Kim Toomey, known as the Celebrity Broker, negotiates on behalf of celebrities for movie roles, commercials, plays, and endorsement deals, as well as casting. KTE also handles celebrity PR, management, booking, and event planning. You need a client list? I thought you never asked. Vivica Fox, Morris Chestnut, Rodney Perry, Megan Good, Regina King, and the list goes on. Please contact Kim Toomey at 214-783-9453. This message is approved by EOTM Radio and Media.
Entertainment, Kim Toomey, Entertainment.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I am your co-host, Ms. Parker. What's going on, Stephen?
Well, now, you ready? This is the time we've been waiting for.
Yes, this is the time we've been waiting for. But first, let me remind the listeners to like us on Facebook, Stephen Knight Show, and also follow us on Twitter, the Stephen Knight Show, S-H-O. We really appreciate all of your support. So please go ahead and hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to be discussing what many people believe to be a touchy and sensitive subject. We want to hear from you in a few minutes. So, again, make sure you call in to 718-664-6543. Tonight, my first guest is someone who grew up a devout Christian, even so much being part of the statewide Bible debate team when he was in high school, but today he is an atheist. Please help me welcome Tyrone. What's going on, Tyrone?
What's up, Stephen? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can you
hear me? Hey, Tyrone.
Good? What's up, Michelle? How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, listen, Tyrone, I want to thank you for being on the show today to be part of this conversation. Let's get into it. So tell everybody when you were first introduced into Christianity.
When I was a kid, I was intrigued because I used to watch cartoons on the Christian Network.
Okay.
And the stories were about biblical stories, and it was intriguing to me. So, but I never went to church until I was in fourth grade, and one of my daycare center teachers asked me if I wanted to go to church. I went. My parents were okay with that. And from there, till I graduated high school, I went to the same church for once or twice a week, you know, doing the vacation Bible school, doing the traveling Bible quiz team. You know, I was very deep in my church until I went to college. And that's my background in going to the church.
Well, let me ask you, in terms of your parents, I know you have a twin brother. Your parents, what was their religious belief?
They never really pushed anything on me. I believe they believed in a higher power. I don't necessarily think they believed in any particular doctrine or any religion. They never told me to think differently. They never told me to think anything. So they allowed me, but they were, you know, I had to ask my parents to go to church, and they were perfectly fine with that. So I guess they wanted me to find my own way and find whatever religion best suited me.
So when you were going to church with your, you know, throughout your younger years up until college, what was the thing that attracted you the most to your spirituality and your, you know, religious beliefs?
Because it intrigued me as a kid, I love the stories in the Bible. Obviously, once I've become indoctrinated and I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior, then you believe that your purpose here is for something greater. I mean, it's a compelling story. It's, you know, I believe that something, that my place on earth led to something way more compelling after I died. And that firm belief there kept us, you know, a solid foundation that, or not only, I won't necessarily say, it kept a foundation where, you know, I felt like my purpose on here was for something bigger. And that's a profound thing. So, and, you know, obviously based on tradition too, because I was consistent in going to the church. So I was consistently getting fed the same doctrine. So, I mean, it was, some of it was ritual and some of it was habit.
At what age did you change your mind about your beliefs, or when did that change? You said when you were in college. How? Why?
This is, you know, I have to think about this. I had some, even when I was studying it when I was younger, there were certain parts of the Bible that I would question. I'd never questioned my faith, but I just questioned certain parts of the Bible. For example, there's a story about the Tower of Babel where the people were creating a huge tower to reach to the kingdom of heaven. And God said that if all humans could think and talk alike, then nothing's impossible to them. So he separated them through language. And that supposedly is why we have so many different languages around the world. Well, my teacher at the time taught me that's why there's separate races. And that's why races should be separate. Well, you know, as a younger kid, because I'm of mixed race, that bothered me because it made me feel like as if my parents or my grandparents or someone somehow sinned or did something wrong.
Okay.
Growing up, there were other stories. Me and Stephen have had talks about this before, where there's a story of Elijah and he's walking down the mountainside, and little kids are making fun of him, and he summons the power of God to get a bear to kill the kids. Now, as a kid, that messed with me. You know, those weren't the most.
Yeah.
So there were certain things about the Bible that I questioned, but I never questioned my faith, if that makes sense. You know, there were certain parts, but I never questioned my faith. I don't think that occurred till well after college.
You said that during, but you still, you maybe weren't going to church as often, but you still had the belief. And then after college, you said your brother presented you with some questions regarding your religion. Because you said you believed that he had already kind of started going in the opposite direction. Honestly,
I didn't even know. One day, this was in my mid-20s. One day, we just have a discussion, and he just comes out of nowhere. So obviously he had already turned his back against religion.
Okay.
And he starts posing all these questions, which were very good questions.
What were some of the questions?
He was just talking about the rational aspect. Like, in nothing else will we ever believe something supernatural, that someone could be born of a virgin birth. If I told you right now that my best friend was born of a virgin birth, you wouldn't believe it. So why would you believe something coming from a document that's 2,000 years old? It's just passed on tradition, and there's no proof or evidence for any of it, not just Christianity, but any other religion. And he started going on the history of religions, where there were so many other gods that had the same type of background of Jesus. And if you do the and so what he challenged me on is doing the research, because at the end of the day, I was taught Christianity. It's not like I learned all the religions and then I got to pick and choose what religion I got to be in, which you would do that for anything else. You know, it's like before you chose which was your best insurance provider, you'd probably do your due diligence to check them all out. But once I did the study of, like, all the religions and how they were created and things of that nature, I just realized all of them were false, and that people, when they don't have a lack of knowledge or a lack of comfort in certain things that they don't know, they feel comfort in something, whether it's true or false, they have more comfort if it gives them purpose if they believe that their life is meant for something. You know, the reality is I have no idea what happens when we die, and I'm perfectly content with that. A lot of people aren't content with that. A lot of people would like to believe that their life is bigger, no matter if it's a lie or not. So he posed a lot of questions, and then after I did my research and, you know, my check-in on certain things, and just some of the – it reinforced some of the – because anything, if it's the truth, should be able to stand up to any type of skepticism. And just when I put my skepticism to the test, I guess my rational mind just broke through and just realized there's no rational reason for me to believe any of this.
Well, you told me, I know when we talked earlier today, you told me that you, I guess, didn't really have a problem with it, but you didn't really like to identify yourself as an atheist. And why is that?
Well, I feel like atheists, you know, it's funny because the first time I told one of my girlfriends I was an atheist, she said, I might as well tell her I was gay, because it has that type of bad connotation to it. I feel like it's a label for something which I don't have. There's no, you know, when you call someone a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew, there's a doctrine that they believe. It's not like I have a doctrine to believe. It's not like if someone doesn't believe in Santa or the Easter Bunny or astrology, you don't call them a non-believer.
I think everybody automatically thinks that person is a bad person, which is kind of what I wanted to state, is that I know a couple of people who are atheists, and honestly, all the people that I know who are some of the best people I've ever met, and that's including you, Tyrone. You do have a good heart. So I think usually when you say someone is an atheist, like your mind automatically goes to thinking that they are just a bad person, that they have no moral compass. And that's so
right.
being
exactly.
being moral and being an atheist are two completely different things.
Religious are two completely different things. Just because you're religious doesn't necessarily mean you're moral.
Yeah.
And you press on a good point, which is why I believe a lot of people, believe the same way that I believe. And the reason why I take the atheist is because they're afraid to say they're atheist because of the bad connotation that comes with that term. They'd rather say, well, I don't know, I'm agnostic. Really, they're atheists. If you don't follow a doctrine, you're really atheist. If you don't believe in a certain God, a personal God to you, if you don't believe in any of that stuff, then you're really an atheist. And that's what it is. It's not
definition.
Like I don't believe. It's not like I don't believe in a God. It's just I don't live my life based on any type of God.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Control. Let me ask you this. Now, I know that we've had a conversation for the past 2 years about this. So, what is your biggest problem? I know that you shared with me about faith-based religion. What is your biggest problem with that?
Well, one is tax-free. You know, it's not like I chose for it to be tax-free. You know, if it was me, you know, we have a deficit in this country anyway. But one, it remains the only thing of discussion that encourages grown folks, grown men and women, to claim that they know things that they obviously don't know or cannot know. You know, it's not like it's the only thing that someone can legitimately say what happens when we die, and I will look like the bad person if I challenge them on that, or people accept it as true, as opposed to if I said, you know, I believe in Poseidon. And, you know, when we die, we'll have, I don't know, I'll have 10 virgins. You know, I'll get a Bentley on Dubs. I'll get laughed at. But if someone says they believe in Christ and that there's a kingdom of heaven and things that happen, it's the only thing in discourse that is accepted and no one challenges them on that. The other thing I have a problem with faith-based religion is it makes people do good things or bad things for bad reasons when there are perfectly good reasons to do good things. For example, Michelle pressed upon this. I'll do this personally. I don't believe in any particular reason or I don't believe in any particular God. So based off that, should I not act a certain moral way? No. If my fellow man needs help, would I not help him? I know that people have human suffering and things of that nature, and I would like to help my fellow mankind. I don't have to believe in some virgin birth or some miracles or someone resurrected from the dead to do something good, whereas you have missionaries who go over to Africa, and because of the fear of going to hell or because they feel like God is telling them to do that, to help African children out, but they don't want them to have condoms, which is a huge thing because they're decimating each other through AIDS. And then if they feel like they have to indoctrinate them through Jesus in order for them to give them food and shelter, when there's like the Red Cross and there's doctors that come over there on their own free will without any religion to do something good. I don't understand why you need to believe in something supernatural to be a good person.
Okay. Well, we also have on the line my aunt Linda. And the reason why I asked her to be on the show is because, Tyron, obviously you're well-versed in what you believe and what you know. And I wanted someone who, in my opinion, could equally express how based on her beliefs, and she's well-versed in that and whatnot. So I asked my aunt Linda to be on here. Aunt Linda, are you there?
I am here, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hello, Michelle and Tyrone.
Hi, Aunt Linda. How are you?
Oh, fine.
How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah,
well,
welcome to
you.
The show. You've been listening in. I'm curious to hear your take on what's being said so far.
I'm listening, and I think it's going to be an interesting dialogue, and I hope that we are all refreshed and blessed by it.
Okay. Absolutely. So, anything else you want to share in terms of I was asking Tyrone anything else you wanted to continue because I know there were several points you wanted to make tonight.
The one thing that I'll say is, and this isn't just Christianity, it's religions, that, you know, when civilizations were prehistoric and they had no idea how anything occurred, they needed that sense of comfort. That's why they had multiple gods, because they did not know how the sun went up and the sun went down. They didn't know why weathers changed. They didn't know why people got sick. So they used to use reasons for gods. All I will say is that as each civilization has increased and our technology and our knowledge has grown better, there's a reason why, especially in this day and age, why we become less and less religious. Just like y'all are Christians, but y'all aren't as Christian as the people were 500 years ago. And those Christians weren't the same Christians 1,000 years ago, because once we find out things like diseases and germs and electricity, no one can no longer say it's because God was angry and that's why that occurred. And with that being said, is that religions have claimed a lot of things during their time and period where science was able to eventually prove that theory or that thought process wrong, just like Christians used to believe the earth, that everything revolved around the earth. And it was science that proved that wrong. There is yet to be one scientific claim where a science was true that a religious belief eventually proved that wrong. So what I'm saying is that not every science hasn't proven, there are a lot of things science hasn't proven, but the things it has proven, religion can't prove it wrong. And if the first, because if there's skepticism and the doubt, because if science is proven wrong, it will change. Religion can't change. Whatever's written in that book or whatever your belief in, if it's proven wrong, you can't change it, because that doctrine is supposed to be a written document from God to men who wrote on that book. And that's all I would challenge, is that science, when people say science and religion can coexist, in my mind it can't, because religion is based on bad faith. And what I mean by bad faith is there's no evidence or proof to believe in it. Science is based on good faith, where there are good evidence and reasons to believe in that. And so I'll go with that.
Okay. Amanda, you want to say something?
Oh, there's so much. There's so much I'd like to say. And Tyrone, I think you have a real cute and forgive me for saying, you guys are so much younger than me, you know, so you're all cute to me. But but I can really resonate with a lot of things that you said. Like, I think it's really charming how you said that your initial inquiry into faith was based on, you know, Bible stories that you saw on television. And I thought, yeah, God is a master storyteller, you know, and oral tradition certainly bears that out. And let me start by saying that we've got a little bit of a glitch in information here, because I think I read maybe on Facebook that was a discussion between a Christian and an atheist tonight, and I am not a Christian.
Okay.
Let me clarify that. I do believe in Yeshua of Nazareth, and that's what I call him, commonly known as Jesus of Nazareth, but I prefer to use his Hebrew name. But I do believe in him as my personal Redeemer, the Messiah of Israel, and the Redeemer of humankind. However, I don't do that in the context of Christianity. You know, the practice of my faith is best described in the context of Judaism. So I just wanted to clarify that. And then I can also relate, Tyrone, when you said that certain things didn't line up, like you used the Tower of Babel and the dispersion of people groups based on linguistics, and then how certain men or certain mankind has gone on to say that this was a division of races too, and you know what that did for you personally, being a bi-ethnic, I won't even say biracial, but a bi-ethnic child, and I can relate to that, because I too have seen a real disconnect between the truth of Scripture and the truth of God, and how man has misapplied or manipulated that for less than noble reasons. All sorts of hyperbole and misinformation has come out because people have used religion as a battering ram, which in my view was never God's intent in establishing a relationship with mankind. You know, it was never so that people could subjugate one another. And so you do have oftentimes in major religions and in Christianity, well, in all religions, I'm not going to earmark any one of them, you do have these evidences where humankind will take a truth and use it for very, I think, ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, likewise, I can relate to you, Tyrone, saying that sometimes people have had to have religion as a veneer or motivation to do good things. That's fortunately true. Likewise, there are non-believing people who have whatever dictums to do whatever they want to do. That's just part of the human situation. But I don't think any of those things indict God. I think if anything, they indict man's perception of God. And let me take a breather. I'm Wendy, so you guys break in when you want to.
Okay.
But
okay.
I want to start out by saying I try to keep my heart in the same place that King David was in when he wrote in Psalm 131, Lord, I don't lift my eyes too high. I do not concern myself with things that are beyond me. I keep my soul like a weaned child. And I said all that to say there's a place for humility. I don't purport to know a whole bunch of things. In fact, the more I do learn, the more I know that I don't know. And that, because I'm one of those people who is an information hog and has a need to know, that keeps me studying, you know. And that has the effect for me, Tyrone. It's interesting because your studying has the effect of eroding your faith. And the more I study, the more my faith is confirmed. And I would disagree with you on one point, Tyrone. You,
okay.
You, like so many in this culture, in this day and age, have such unmitigated faith in science. And I'm certainly not there with you, but I would disagree with you that religion disproves science. I find every day more and more things that the scientific community stumbles upon. I say, that was spoken of in Torah, or the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit spoke that some time ago, or man's finally catching up to what God knows. So that's just a different point of view.
Okay. I definitely can appreciate that. I would say, because I gather from what you said that that you feel like men have manipulated the Bible for their own whatever reasons to teach bad things. What I would submit to you is there are a bunch of bad things in the Bible. Some of them are
Can you name some of those?
Absolutely. The Bible was used to justify women as men's property.
Tyrone? I just want to clarify what you're saying, because you just said two things right there. You said that you quoted me, or you paraphrased my statement that the Bible had been used often to do bad things, and I did say that. And then
right.
You went on to say that you thought that there were many bad things in the Bible.
Correct.
And I said, can you clarify that? And you said, well, the Bible has been used. So let's not talk about what the Bible
has been
used.
I apologize.
Yeah, okay.
Direct scripture that justifies women being men's property to be silenced, and for men to have rule over them. Paul specifically said about women teaching men in the church that women aren't allowed to, and that the man has authority over them and she must be silent. There's a couple of other scriptures.
Talk about that one for a moment?
Okay.
You have to understand, and you know, when we get into talking about scripture, and I think it's important to, like any other literary document, okay, to look at the context of the culture and the language and the audience to whom it was spoken, okay, and the context of it, okay. The context of that particular scripture that you mentioned, in which Paul says that women need to be silent, was not, I think, what it has been exacted to be. There was a tradition in that time in the synagogues for women to congregate and do a lot of, you know, kind of like, well, I don't want to say that, but to talk during a delivery of a message or during worship or whatever. And so Paul was essentially saying, you need not to do that. You know, you need to be silent. Men were the teachers of the day at that time, and it was pretty much, you need to be silent while teaching's going on. In the same way that if I was at a lecture with my granddaughter, who's 2 or 3, and she was doing whatever, I might say to her, Aaliyah, you need to be quiet while this is going on. So I don't think that is as much Paul being the chauvinist that contemporary people have tried to paint him as.
Okay. Well, then, because I have several others, but before I leave that, I want to address this one real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Was it religion that eventually gave women's rights, or was it secular intellectual progressivism that eventually, and women who started thinking on their own independence, that eventually developed women to be thought of as equal rights? Or if we were still in a theocracy, or where religion was the dominant form, when we see that in Islam countries, where you see women are held back and still as property, do you think that religion, if intellectualism didn't take heed, do you still think under the church that women will have eventually got their rights?
Okay, number one, I don't know that women have rights now. That's number one. Number two, I am not here to defend the church. I am not part of the church. And number three, where religion and the church may have subjugated women, I don't see where God ever did.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, religion is based on a particular doctrine, and all I can go by is history. And the history shows that following doctrines for no good reason causes bad things. One of them has been that the holding back of women.
Are you indicting God for that, or are you indicting?
I'm indicting religious doctrines. All of them.
Okay. Well, I'm not here to defend religious doctrine. The wrong conversation. I didn't come on to defend religious doctrine.
Right. Well, but so that's my, because belief in the, but you believe, so you believe in Jesus, right? Hey,
I believe in Yeshua of Nazareth, yes.
Right, right. So you believe the only way to the kingdom of heaven is through believing in him, correct?
I believe that. He says that no man comes to the Father but by him. Yes, I do believe that.
Absolutely. One of the biggest issues that I had growing up was
mm-hmm.
believing that was that if a good person is good, that
mm-hmm.
the God, type of God that I want to believe, just because
mm-hmm.
he was Muslim or Jewish or Hindu or Buddhist,
mm-hmm.
because he didn't believe in Jesus, he would be burning in hell. That to me is a rational individual to believe in
okay.
some type of God that they had to believe in a supposed son that came to the kingdom of heaven. That was hard to grasp because to me,
okay.
you should be judged based on what you do on earth, not by what you believe in.
Okay, let me respond to both of those statements, Tyrone. Number one, I've heard you mention several times good people, okay? I personally don't think that there's such thing that exists, okay? I don't think there's anything called good people. I believe, as the scriptures say, there's none righteous, no, not one, okay? And that includes me, you, and everybody else on the planet. We may do some noble things, but I don't believe in good people, number one. And number two, when you say that to think of a God that would punish, I guess you mean sin, is not the type of God that you want to believe in. You're not alone in that. I think many of us have a problem with God as God is versus the God we would like to see. And I would purport that that's why many people do construct God in their own image, you know. And I would purport that most people who talk about God are not talking about the personality that I know from scriptures, who reveals himself, who's very upfront about who and what he is, and who is unchangeable and unmutable and doesn't compromise that. Now, I had to square, like yourself, well, no, unlike yourself, because you came to faith by, you know, an interest in Bible stories that were told to you via television. I came to faith as a child. I heard somewhere, I don't know where this comes from, but someone has said once that there's a God-shaped vacuum in every soul and that it longs to be filled. And I somehow believe that. And so as a child, I had a pulling toward God, but didn't know what that was. Didn't grow up in a particularly religious household. As a little girl, I saw people going forward in the church and asked my grandmother, what are they doing? She said, they're going forward because they believe that Jesus died for their sins. And I was a little girl. I said, well, everybody knows that, so I went forward. Well, fast forward a couple of years later, when I was about 13, I realized that I didn't know God. And so I prayed, and I said, you know, I kind of feel silly praying to you, but I don't know if you exist or not. and I want to know if you exist, and I'm not going to believe in you just because my parents say you exist. I want you to reveal yourself to me, and if you don't reveal yourself to me, I'm not going to pretend that you exist. And, oh, by the way, who's this Jesus Christ? And that was my prayer, very sincere prayer. And mm-hmm. I will tell you, my testimony is that God heard that prayer and honored it and saw a little girl with chutzpah who wanted to know and revealed himself to me. And so, I guess we came about it different ways. I initially had disbelieved what I heard, but then reached a point where I knew that I needed to know what I believed, and I'm still that way. I need to know what I know, and I tend to study and pursue until I do know what I know. And when what I know doesn't line up with the truth that I discover, then I dismiss what I thought I knew. You know, so that's where I am. But I said all that to say, points I wanted to make. One, I don't labor under this thing of, you know, why does bad things happen to good people? Because I don't think that there's something called good people. And number two, I am so beyond trying to make God fit my image of what I think he should be, you know. So.
Well, listen, both of you, you know, I definitely appreciate you all's conversation. I think it's a great conversation to have. We have some callers that call in. We're supposed to go on to Stephen's playlist, but I think that this conversation is to be held. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to post the songs for Stephen's playlist on Facebook page, and we'll continue having this conversation for as long as we're going to have it. But we do have a caller in, and then after his call, we'll go to commercial. But we have Chris Michael on the line. Chris, you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's going on? What do you have to say? Where are you from?
I'm from the Bronx.
I know where you're from. I know where you're from. Well, what do you have to say?
Well, I mean, I have a friend that she's Jewish, and her parents don't condone her being with black men, and they only want her to be with somebody. They want her to be with somebody that's Jewish. Though they love me, you know, they have a problem with anybody else that like she dates or whatever, and they don't want her to come home with anybody that's Catholic. So she's dating people somebody that's a Christian. So I'm like, oh, what's gonna happen? But I just feel like if you're a good person, then God will bring that other good person into your life no matter what their religion is.
Okay.
I feel like any God is a loving God, period. So who's to say, you know, if you be with this person that believes this religion, that you can't be loved by that person? Like, I just think that's like really crazy.
So you're answering obviously the question of the day, which and I'm glad you made that point.
Can I answer that, Stephen?
I definitely want you and Aunt Linda to comment, but just so the listeners will know what we're talking about, the question of the day was, can you be in a relationship with someone, be in a relationship or marry someone who does not have the same religious views as you? Tell them, go ahead.
All right, he posed a couple of a good thought-provoking questions. One is the intolerance that is created once you believe in any particular type of religion. Because once you believe in any type of dogmatic religion which believes that your way is the right way, then you automatically believe everyone else who's opposed to that religious belief are wrong. I mean, it's incompatible to begin with. That's one and number one. And the number two is if he's talking about any type of God that's based on a book, the ones that are written in book is not a loving God, not the God that destroyed earth based on the flood, not the God that said Jews are the chosen people, where he picked people, not the God that advocated genocide on the Israelite side to another group of people, not the God that opposed homosexuality, and the very reason why homosexuals are killed in other countries and are opposed so bad in America for having rights is due to religious beliefs. If he's basing... Look, I have no idea if there's a higher power that created everything, but what I do know is there's not a personal God that religious people believe in that intervenes in daily life. There's no existence of that whatsoever. And if he's, and if the belief is that that God is a loving God, not based on the books, not based on Islam books that believes in martyrdom and jihad, that if you willingly kill yourself in the name of religion, 9/11 was created on the firm-based belief that they were doing what God wanted them to do based off their literature. So all I will say is, based on religious documents, that God isn't a loving God.
All right.
Can I respond to that?
Respond, and then we'll go to commercial break.
Few things, Tyrone. You said that, see, dear, you sound to me like you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, because you said something to the effect that religious people or religions were very intolerant of any other doctrine. And I would say to you, I'm not. You know, I know what I believe.
But you're the exception.
Tyrone, I'm not the exception. I'm not the exception. As much as I'd love to be thought of as an exceptional person, I am not in any way an exception, okay? My faith does not make me intolerant of anyone. I do believe that everyone, and I think God, well, I know that God believes that everyone is entitled to their belief system, so there's no intolerance there. But at the same breath in which you talked about the intolerance of people who have subscribed to a particular faith, then you spewed some rather intolerant words regarding those people and regarding what you think. Darling, you're speaking your opinion, and you spoke some very intolerant words concerning what you considered a loving God to be or not to be. Now, you're sounding very much like you're the intolerant one, because if God doesn't fit your paradigm, or if a religious doctrine doesn't fit your sense of justice or love, then you have little tolerance for that. And you can't have it both ways, Tyrone.
I hate to cut, but
hold that thought. We'll be right back after this break.
Hey, I need to know about some PR at work that EOTM doing, child. Tell me something about it, sugar.
Okay, you mean PR work? Do you need PR?
Yeah, sugar, that's what I'm saying.
EOTM Media Group is always looking to expand its roster of selected and talented clients. If you're interested in becoming a client,
yeah, I'm interested.
Please email pr@eotmradio.com or call 909-559-1763. That's our LA office. Or 678-548-9466 in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. We also have an office in D.C., which is 646-713-9327. For a free consultation, please give us a call. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a call with all the numbers. Well, I will give you a call, and I sure appreciate it. All right, dear baby.
Thank you, and always remember, you will always need a publicist.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. For those just tuning in, we're having a very, to me, enlightening conversation about religion. We have Tyrone on the call, on the line, as well as my Aunt Linda. In terms of the Stephen's playlist, we're going to not have that tonight because I want to finish this conversation, but I will definitely honor those people who submit their music. We'll play them next week, and also the music will be on Facebook, so definitely check that out. Tyrone, where you going? Where you going next?
Yeah, I guess the only thing I want to add on is what I'm basing on what the religious doctrines say is fact. There's nothing about me that's intolerant. I'm intolerant of belief in non-factual, non-evidence types of things. But everyone is okay. Everyone is the same way. It's just like evidence in a crime case. If the evidence isn't there, you're not going to believe that person did it. So I'm the same way in that way, but in no way am I intolerant, meaning that I believe a certain people or a religious belief, my belief is greater than theirs, and religion is inherently that. If it wasn't, we wouldn't have had the Crusades. We wouldn't have the Inquisition. We wouldn't have had the Salem witch hunts. We wouldn't have the current Palestinian-Jewish battle that's currently taking place now. We wouldn't have what Muslims believe is them invading the West and believe that Muslims if you're not what they believe in, you're an infidel and you must die. I I don't have any of those type of intolerance, and religion historically has. Religion is the only thing where the Roman Catholic Church, because it's extremely profitable, can have a huge child molestation bishops all across, and not because of the greater good of God, but because of the greater good itself. They can cover it up, and no one gets arrested for it. Whereas if it was a public company, if it was a public company, that company would have been bankrupt. There's no challenge to any type of to religion whatsoever, and it leads to gullible belief. I mean, the FBI showed that people who are religious people are the most scammed people on this earth. Because once you believe in something without evidence, it's easy for someone to come to you with some scam, and you're more likely to believe it without skepticism because you didn't have the own skepticism to your own religion.
Okay, well we have someone in our chat room, real quick, someone in our chat room, Duchess Blue, she comes and she has a cold, she couldn't call in, but she says that Tyrone, she thinks she's telling you've been hurt by the church, and therefore you've done a 180 away from God. Hold on real quick. She said, never trust in man, but in the Holy Spirit, and he will never steer you wrong. Before I tell you answer that, we have another caller in, actually, my mom, Donna.
And
Donna, you there?
I would say one thing too, Tyrone. It sounds to me like you are, because you keep talking about religion and what man has done, and it sounds to me like you're very angry about what people have done in the name of religion, and I can understand that, but I would implore you not to indict God for how man
religion advocates that. The very book advocates
God.
That.
But God does.
Guys.
Religion may, but God does not.
Okay, guys, we have a caller. Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How you doing, Mom?
I'm doing fine.
Mom, put your laptop down because we hear the feedback from the computer.
Okay, I'll link to another
you.
Area.
Okay. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Hello?
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What's your comment?
My comment is that, and I want to start off by saying that I am a Christian.
Okay.
And I believe in the Bible. I believe in it literally. And the Bible is not for religious people.
Right.
It's for people who've been born of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Bible reveals a powerful God, an all-wise God, a very loving God. And until you know the God of the Bible, you'll never know the truth. And there is only one truth. So I'm really bothered by the comment religion, because the Word of God is not about religion. It's about God loving mankind enough to come in the form of human flesh to save mankind. But there's another power that comes into play that puts blinders on and deceptions and make people believe that their wisdom is supreme, and it's just God's wisdom is matchless. And so that's basically what I wanted to say.
Okay. Tyler, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah. A couple things. If she said that God, or if she's a Christian, and that's the Bible is the Word of God. If the Word of God, then God literally wrote that. It wasn't written that way. It was written by man. So
inspired.
Even if hypothetically,
is that again?
Right. Even right, exactly. It's not, it's not per se the Word of God. If hypothetically there was a God, it was still written by man. So if I can understand from a Christian's point of view, it's the Word of God written by man.
Inspired,
but it was still written by
God.
Man. But it's not the direct Word of God.
They are.
There's a big thing, because we all live down in the South. Religion, and if you believe in the doctrine,
I don't believe in religion.
Let's stop talking about religion, okay?
Yeah. Religion all right. is not even.
But we're arguing semantics.
No,
the greater point,
darling. It's not a semantic. It's a way of life.
If you believe in a certain doctrine based on something that there's no evidence of, it's a religious belief. Because there's no
– plenty of
otherwise,
evidence.
We have to take one at a time. Come on,
You're
man.
Just not aware of the evidence, but there's plenty of evidence.
There's no evidence or proof whatsoever.
The word of God.
Tyrone.
But there isn't.
Tyrone. But I'm not – you
Tyrone.
Know, the Bible
but, – can,
can
I finish,
not get
can
an
I finish
endless
my point?
Argument
can I finish
about
my
the
point?
Truth? Yeah,
listen,
when I'm finished.
One person can talk at a time because the viewers, the listeners won't be able to hear with everyone talking. Go ahead, Mom, finish, and then we'll go to Tyrone, then I'll end it. Go ahead, Mom.
I'm saying that I called in to make the statement. I'm not interested in entering into arguments about the truth because they're endless. They don't accomplish anything. Anyone who comes to God needs to have that desire because you know, you can go on and on and on and on, and you think what you're saying is true, but it is so far off. And my prayer is that the Lord will give you a hunger and thirst for him, and then you can search him out, not to disprove his existence, but to really determine if there is a true and living God. And then if you move in that vein, you'll find him. And that's basically all I wanted to say. The Word of God is not about religion. Jesus was against religion.
Absolutely.
He was not a religious man.
Absolutely.
If you think of, if you research everything he said, he never talked about embracing religion. He talked about embracing life, the life that only comes through him because he's such a holy God. That he had to die. The perfect, sinless man had to die so that we could live, that the Spirit of God could dwell in us, and we could have the life abundantly that God created us to have. And I just pray that you'll come to the knowledge of that. And with that said, God bless you and good night.
Thank you, Mom, for calling in.
Thank you.
And now might Aunt Linda say something?
Okay, we're going to let Tyrone respond, and I'll let you
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Tyrone.
And I appreciate her for her comments. I apologize if I come off a little aggressive. You know, it's definitely a passionate topic. I'm definitely not angry.
Everyone's passionate about it. Yeah.
Right. I'm definitely not angry about it. But I would pose a couple things, because she said, you know, how Jesus, the sinless. Jesus never preached beyond Jews. There were a couple here and then of a Canaanite and a Samaritan woman. No, he didn't. He even said he came for the lost children of Israel.
Only initially.
He was even specific in comparing the children of Israel to the kids at the table, and people who weren't Jews being dogs to get the scraps off the table. The disciples after him only preached to Jews. It was only until Paul later who decided that the teachings of Jesus Christ should be taught to Gentiles. It was only because of him. Let me finish. That's fact.
Okay, I'll correct you on that.
Let me finish my train. Go ahead while I get my train. First of all,
and here again, you know, and you know, I can appreciate your zeal, and I would only say to you, study, truly study, okay, and don't use your studying so much to find what man has done. Man's abuses of religion, but study the book and then inquire of the God you say you don't believe in. He will open your eyes to the scripture, and you will find out when Yeshua was talking about dogs from the scrap of the table, okay, and this goes back to understanding the culture and the time that you were in, okay, he was referring to, and I think kind of leaning on her about what her faith was, because the Jews did consider the Samaritans dogs.
okay, or as low as dogs. And so he was essentially leaning on her, trying to get at, why is this Samaritan woman really approaching me about this, leaning on her, okay? And once she had a rebut with him, then he knew what her heart was. And but that was pretty much a testing or a wordplay. Number one.
But did Jesus
number
go out
two,
her
number,
way
let
to,
me,
to
let
teach
me finish,
beyond
let
you?
Me finish, let me finish. Secondly, you are correct partially when you say that Yeshua did initially say to his disciples, I have come only for the lost tribe of Israel. That being, but please do not attach to that he had an exclusive mentality. God's purpose, stated back to Abram, was that through Abram's faith, and Abram came out of a paganistic, polytheistic faith system. When God revealed himself as the true and living God to Abram, he said, through you all nations will be blessed. Israel was then birthed, well, no, Israel's birth after the Exodus. But Israel's position was to be a kingdom of priests to the nations, to show the other nations who were all polytheistic about the true and living God. That was Israel's mission. Israel dropped that ball, okay? And so Yeshua's whole mission was to restore Israel to her right place as a priesthood. That's why I said, I have only come for the lost sheep of Israel, to restore Israel. Once, and it didn't start with Paul, once he ascended and came back to his disciples and spent 40 days training them and giving them a heads up on what to expect, that's when he said, now, having restored the faith, now go into the nation. Now you're equipped. It's as if
I was training my... But did any of the disciples preach beyond the Jews?
Let me finish, okay? So it's as if I was mentoring my child who didn't have his craft together and said, no, right now we've got to just focus on getting you straight in this craft. Once you're proficient in it, now you can go and teach other people. That's what Yeshua did. So you cannot attach to him any bigotry or any exclusiveness. In fact, when he turned over the tables in the temple, he did it because the merchants were keeping the other nations out of the outer court, which was designed to allow non-Jews to come in and learn the true and living God. And that's what upset Yeshua then. So we cannot tag the label that it seems that you want to tag on him as being exclusive, okay? Once he gave that commission to his disciples, then he released them to go among the nations, okay? Now, that's where that is.
Okay, now listen, we unfortunately we're running out of time, so what I want both of you all to do, I'm going to let both talk, I want you all to, not really your closing arguments, but, you know, kind of what you want to summarize in the conversation, what you want people that are listening to you to take away from the conversation. So, Tyrone, I'll let you go first, then Alinda, and then we'll end this conversation. But I definitely appreciate you all for being on. But Tyrone, go ahead.
A couple things. I'll try to be real quick. One thing, I find it hard to believe, and just specifically because the two callers, the person who I'm talking to on the call, and the callers are coming in are generally Christian, so I'll go there. I find it hard to believe that if an all-knowing God who came to bring their son down for salvation for the whole world would do it in such an obscure way where only people that were there would know what happened, and those people have to profess to everyone else around the world, and we have to believe based on hearsay. For 1,500 years, Africa or Asian countries had no idea after the supposed death of a Jesus Christ that even occurred. So what occurred? So where was their salvation for 1,500 years? And what I would submit, especially to Black people who were slaves that came over to the United States, was that particular religion was they, first of all, there are verses in the Bible that justify slavery, and they utilized that for that, and they advocated Christianity. That's why there's no surprise that most Blacks in America are Christians. They pushed on that fact because it was better for you to believe in something greater outside of here than cause anarchy and break free from slavery at that time. The book justifies slavery. Most black people came here under slavery, and they pushed the religion. So supposedly what Africans were currently believing was just currently wrong. Obviously, and it took our oppressors to give us a belief system for us to hold on. We've been holding on to those traditions for the last 400, 500 years. And then lastly, at the end of the day, out of all religions or any religion, if there's some either people can perform, either God was a personal God that was an interventionist, someone can possibly be born of a virgin birth, people can be resurrected for the dead, or someone lied in the book. We don't believe in the Iliad. We don't believe in other books. We don't believe in Star Wars or Harry Potter for it to be true. So why would we believe in a barbaric books that were created 2,000 years ago when there's no proof or evidence for any of them? And what I would submit to is any of the people that called in today or the person I'm talking to now is that there are atheists just like me. I just do it one step further. For the very reasons they don't believe in any other gods or any other books is the very same reason why I don't believe in what they believe in.
Okay. Well, Tyrone, thank you again. Thank you again for being on the show. I definitely appreciate your perspective and your time today. I know we went longer than we thought, but definitely thank you. And Linda, I'll let you close with your final.
Okay, statement. I would say first of all, I'd love to, when we're off the air, exchange numbers with Tyrone to follow this further. Because my concern for you, Tyrone, is that you found. bit angry and like you got a little bits of information that they're so common. I've heard these arguments before. Like when you talk about slavery, you have to distinguish the Atlantic slave trade from any other slave system that has existed. And so when you say the Bible justifies slavery, please do not confuse that it justifies the very brutal trafficking that happened with the Atlantic slave system, completely different thing, okay? You might do well to study what slavery was like in ancient times, even in pre-biblical times, and realize it was not the dehumanizing thing. Also, when you talk about Africans being brought here and given a slave religion, you might want to do some research around Africans that are mentioned in the Bible, you know, that are in the lineage of Yeshua, that go back to Moses, and then you might not have that common fallacy thrown at you. But beyond all of that, I would just say that for anyone who does not know God, does not have a relationship with Jesus of Nazareth, that they, rather than looking at what man has done in the name of religion, they go to the source. Do what I did when I was a child. Say, you know what, God, if you exist, show me, and show me a way that I know. And you will find Tyrone. That God is not a God who loves ignorance and stupidity, but to the degree that you're able to learn, he is more than willing to teach, and that studying diminishes nothing. Studying will bring you to faith. And so that would be my challenge to you. If you truly want to study, don't be afraid to study. Go to God. He will prove himself, and you will have every evidence.
Well, thank you again, Linda, for your time. I definitely appreciate your time again. I know we were a lot longer than we thought, but it was such a great conversation. And both of you, Tyrone and Linda, thanks. And everyone who called in, this is a very, like I said, it's a controversial subject. It's something subject that I'm glad we're able to have today, a conversation. And I'm sure it'll be something that will be talked about from years to come. But we'll be right back after these messages.
He's back, he's bad, he's on top. It's Zane Copeland, Lil Zane. He has the big screen, he has the stage, he has a new CD, he has a single. He will captivate you with his swagger. Get this new single, put it in my lap. Go to ReverbNation.com/Lil Zane's World and get this single right now. And also check out Dope D featuring Tipsy. For bookings, contact Carla Bonds, EOTM Public Relations at 909-559-1763. Brought to you by EOTM, B1 Music, U.S. Entertainment. This is a Ron Anthony production.
Welcome welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Michelle, what do you think?
Wow. I am left speechless. Very
good.
I thought
both sides had great arguments. Obviously, for those who put it out there, I'm a believer, and I only go based on my faith. I believe that, you know, if you listen to both parties, let me say about one thing about Tyrone that I will say. Tyrone, maybe a year and a half ago, had me question my faith. But what he also encouraged me to do was to do my own research. And I know that in me questioning my own faith, you know, I'd be reading my Bible and I'd be like, oh, no, is this true, is it not? And I literally had to pray that the Lord reveal himself to me. And not only did he help me by making me have a stronger relationship with the Lord. So I think that, I know a lot of people, they're on the fence. A lot of people, they're either one way or the other. Some people don't even know. But hopefully this conversation planted a seed for you and allowed you to think. And hopefully it will bring you closer to understanding what you believe in and what you don't believe in. Michelle, what you
think? I definitely think that both, you know, your Aunt Linda and Tyrone King with knowledge of what they wanted to speak of, I really appreciate that. I think it's time to get a little heated because that's what religion or personal beliefs or whatever you want to call it, does to you. It's a passionate thing. So I think,
it is.
You know, especially for Tyrone, I know how excited he can get when he talks about what he believes in. But like I said, you know, your Aunt Linda, you know, she had me speechless. She's very well knowledgeable about what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it was great information on both ends.
It is great information. And it's, like I said, it's a conversation that I'm sure people will be having, they'll have daily, they'll have for years to come. And, because it's something that's personal. It's something that, you know, that people, you know, they live by. They live by.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we were able to do that today. But I definitely want to thank again Tyrone. I want to thank Linda. I want to thank all the people who called in. I want to welcome Chike to the Stephen Knight Show, Janera, Aaron, and obviously Ms. Parker.
Thank you to everyone who listened.
Real quick, Michelle, what are people saying about the question of the day? I know we talked about can you be in a relationship with someone who has a different religious background than you?
I think it's about half and half. Most people are saying no, and other people are saying yes, and I think it's because the people who are saying no are concerned about, of course, having children. It's going to be a little tricky trying to raise a child who, you know, which way to direct their attention. And, you know, a couple of people share their personal experiences with dating, I almost say outside of their religion, like outside of your race. But, you know, some people have had luck with, and other people it hasn't worked out because, you know, they needed a common ground. But, like I said, it's been about 50-50, and other people just, you know, don't fit as an issue.
Well, you know, my belief is a family that prays together stays together. I think that, you know, in a relationship, and this is one side of me, I think in a relationship that if you have different beliefs, it's definitely have to have respect there. You definitely have to, value what each other believes or respect you for what you believe and whatnot. But the only problem for me I can see is raising children. You know, what are we going to teach our children? And actually, I talked to a girl today who I went to high school with, and she told me that I had no clue. She told me that she's married to someone who believes opposite of her. And what they decided before having children is that they would expose both to their children and allow them to decide. So I think it really believes on your parenting and what you want as a parent, and what works for you. What works for you? Cause
I think that kind of proves that love overcomes it all. That's all. I think that's like kind of my point of view with dating outside of your religion. I think if you love each other, that's gonna that overcomes everything as well.
Yeah, I was reading some of the comments here, and one person said beggars can't be choosy.
Oh my God, that was so funny. I read that and I just could not stop laughing. That was hilarious.
That's funny.
He is right. Someone did mention, what you said, you know, a family that prays together stays together. Mm-hmm. Someone said they had been in a 5-year relationship with someone who did not practice the same religion as they did, and it didn't work out, and she truly believed that, you know, her faith brought her through that relationship, and her God showed her, the right way, and that she needed to be out of that relationship because they could not exist in the same environment. They couldn't, you know, practice together and pray together and do things together. So, but 5 years is a long time. You know, she said it took her a while to get out of that. But I thought that was pretty interesting. I personally know people who come from different background and it seemed to work. Right.
Well, definitely, like I said, it's definitely a very interesting conversation. And hopefully we've encouraged you all to have those conversations with yourself and with your friends and your family. And we'll see you again next week. Thanks for tuning in to Steve and Aisha.
Thanks, guys. Everything.